Hey, everybody, welcome to another amazing episode of Pretty Messed Up on iHeartRadio. Okay, first and foremost, before we dive into what went down tonight, which we all know was the finale of DWT Izzy, we are doing something very fun tomorrow. We are going to be live, doing this podcast live, uncensored, live, holy shit, who knows what's going to be said, who knows how it's going to be said, but let's just tell you guys right now, we have some great guests joining us tomorrow. Justina Machado will be on.
Yeah. Wow.
Jenna will be on tomorrow. And
Jenna Schmurkowski, get it right.
Schmurkowski-Nofsky-Nofsky's. And Gesundheit. And my brother from another mother, Mr. Nick Gene Carter.
That's a lineup. That's
and
a lineup.
Possibly Nelly.
And possibly Nelly.
We'll, it could be we'll
see.
Hot
I text
here.
Him. We'll see if he can make some time. But yeah, we are going live tomorrow. There are tickets still available. Go get them. Get them now while they're hot, sizzling.
Hot in here. Get it?
Yeah. Literally, I don't know that many people that have done this, so this is going to be fun. We're going to be live.
Cheryl, have you done a live?
Yes. And by the way, get your tickets on loopedlive.com. Again, that is loopedlive.com.
What were you saying, Renee?
No, have you done a live podcast?
No, but I've shake my ass live on television all the time.
Yeah.
That's this a different interesting. That's a different way of communicating. I'm actually really nervous about it, guys, because for some reason everything I say makes headlines, so I need to not say so much.
I don't know. That's
no,
why
no, no, no. I think that's kind of what we're looking for.
Yeah,
here,
I think people are going to log on for that.
Yeah,
you know?
They want to hear what they
want to hear
out of your mouth.
All the stuff that gets edited out normally.
Exactly.
Well, crap. Exactly. Thank God we just wrapped Dancing with the Stars. Speaking of,
yeah, it's. I mean, talk about a crazy night tonight.
God, me and you, AJ. Though we were like, okay, so on top of me doing like a few numbers, right? I don't know if you guys saw, but I was in a little bit of the opening, which was really crazy because it's the first time all the pros were danced together again since this COVID thing happened. And we had the COVID officer there basically telling us not to get our heart rate up and not to sweat. And you're talking to the number one sweater over
this
here.
This is true. I will vouch for that.
Miss Cher Bear sweats her ass off. That's
yeah,
my full
standing
name.
Still.
Do you mean like Giuliani levels of sweat?
Like when I'm my heart rate is up now, like. It's not going to happen. Like two dance moves and my heart rate's up. But it was so nice to be able to dance with the professionals again, I have to say. And I think that was missing a little bit from the show.
I agree. I mean, that's a big part of what I've seen in previous seasons where it's either all the pros dance together. And then, like you said, the pros dance with other couples or like couples and couples dance together.
Well, the married couples stood like they danced together. Yeah. Then you had me and Brandon, who could be my son. Just kidding. I guess not. That means I would have him. I would have had him at 11 years old. That's really
I mean,
too young.
It's shocking, but it does happen.
And his pants split in the middle of the number. Oh my
his
god!
His and Posh, right?
Him, yeah. Pants down the middle, Renee. Like if he was not wearing underwear, it would have been a. Val was right behind us.
Balls and
it would
wieners
have been
out.
A horrible, horrible view. Anyways,
so you guys, now that it's concluded, right? The season's concluded. Is there part of you that's kind of glad that, okay, that's done? We could move on to other things, explore a bunch of other stuff. How do you guys feel internally?
Well, for me, it's like the Olympics. It really, I don't know if you remember Jack Osborne comparing it to that when we first had our very first guest. But yeah, it's kind of like, I think now I'm going to wake up and I'm going to be like, wait, I'm not going to get any more calls about rehearsal or text messages or emails, you know, like I get 100 times a day. So there's that weird, I guess, withdrawal from that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the holidays are coming up and this whole, you know, so I think it's going to be a different type of like standstill for a second because we're all going to be locked down probably.
Is it bless the you. Same? Is it the same every year where the holidays come right up?
Yeah, basically.
Every year.
We
so it gives you something to focus on.
Yeah. No, totally. Well, yeah, kind of. I just bought a lot of lots of Christmas decorations for no reason. That's my addict in me. It was either that or something not good.
I mean, look, I think Look, I've got nothing to compare it to, but I think this was a fantastic season.
It'd be like a tour ending for you.
Yeah, it does. It's, you know, I know I made a lot of friends, you know, both on the celeb side, on the pro side, production. It really is like a family over there. And it's, you know, everybody loves what they're doing. And, you know, it's funny. I thought once we got the boot, I thought, okay, I'm waiting for this decompression thing, this kind of detox thing to happen. And literally it's the very next morning, I was back in dad mode. I was up at 6:30 in the morning and I slept the best I'd ever slept. Here's when it hit me. It hit me a week later is when it hit me at like 2 p.m.
I was sitting on the fucking
couch. I was watching football.
Oh, okay.
And I watched the first 4 minutes and then I woke up to the last 3 minutes. I missed the whole damn game. And I'm like, but my body was finally like, dude, you need to just go to sleep.
Yeah.
Your body is finally trying to catch up. But to be honest, though, I wasn't depressed, but I will say
you had the ball. I missed,
like, I know this is going to sound wrong.
You missed the abuse.
No, I don't miss that. no, I'm just kidding. I miss the having a purpose type thing. Not that I don't have a purpose being a father and a husband, but there was a purpose in my life for me individually.
And a routine.
And
right?
a routine, exactly. Yeah, there was some. Yeah. And like, so that I do miss.
You know what's funny?
But yeah, I mean, it's.
With Circle the Wagons, which is the group that we, you know, every day we talk about our recovery and different things. And we were all on the ride. You know, we were vicariously. Every Monday we knew we're going to watch the show and we're rooting for you and da da da. And so for me, it was like, yes, I was disappointed. I feel like you guys got bounced early, but I'm also relieved. Like I don't have to bite my nails every Monday, you know, every Monday I'm like, come on.
But you were on that roller coaster ride with us. Like Monday through Thursday was hell. Like it was learning the next dance and then like thinking you're never going to get it.
But like tonight, like seeing that it was only two dances again.
That's so weird, right? Normally, I was like, you guys, we have four dances normally for a finale.
I know. And so I was like, damn, we could have done that in the bag. But, you know, because like you said, we do our samba again.
Well, what was your favorite freestyle, AJ, out of all four freestyles tonight?
My personal favorite, just because I'm a huge Gene Kelly fan, was Singing in the Rain.
Yeah.
That was number one for me. And then Justina was a really close second. Mm-hmm. She just came out like when she had multiple Justinas up on the screen. Like,
so that
I was
the Beyonce reference that I gave them for your week three with the Backstreet Boys. But like, I was like, oh, I'm so happy to see that they can do it though. You know what I mean? Like at first I was like, maybe,
of course.
But that's what I wanted for the boys.
She
killed it, by the way, though. I agree. I also loved Caitlyn's though.
Caitlyn's was also good.
On TV, it looks really good.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Caitlyn and Artem.
Yes, congratulations.
Awesome.
And she was a sweetheart when she came. She really is.
And yeah, she really, really went through it. And so did Artem, you know, being a new father. Artem has never won Dancing with the Stars before, and he's been on for so many years.
So that's good.
So personally, from a dancer's point of view, I know it's about the celebrity, but I think we all... We're really rooting for either Artem or Sasha because they both of them have never won before.
I mean, look, I'm sure a lot of people, fans of the show, were all in the back of their mind going, it's going to be Neve. And I think Neve's lowest score the entire season was a 24 or 26. That was his lowest score.
Only thing I can relate to is the fact that like Juan Pablo was very similar, except we didn't make the final. However, our lowest score was a 9. Right, the whole season.
Right,
and then to not make the final or to not win when you know you went out there and you did like one of the best freestyles. You know what I mean? Like you didn't do anything to not.
But like you said, this tonight is all about America.
The audience,
it's all about the audience voting.
Well, they tied everybody except for Nelly.
Combined with your score, yes, but it's really the voting, 100%.
When you tie everybody, it's the voting, period.
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, but I really was in the back of my mind thinking this could really go four different ways. I didn't think yeah. it's going to be between one or two, or there is one that's definitely going to win in my mind.
The reason the controversy is probably happening right now as we speak on social media is because a Bachelorette won last season as well.
Exactly.
With Alan. Mm. Now, her name is Hannah, and she's also come from the Bachelorette world. And so I was just talking small talk with Dina, and we were just like talking about how it'd be so nice to see Artem like win, Sasha as well, because they've never won before, but they've done the show for so long. And then I'm like, but if Caitlin does win, have you thought of maybe not casting a Bachelorette next season, you know? Because then you don't want people to start making this conspiracy theory that anyone who's an ABC talent, right?
Exactly.
Like, is going to. But what happened to the Bachelors? Why can't they dance? And we've had a few, but they have two left feet, every single one of them.
Yeah. Nick, who was a Bachelor a few years ago. Yeah. We tried teaching him choreography to impress some of the girls. Nick was his name. I don't remember his last name.
Oh, I thought
you
meant like
Bachelor.
Nick Carter was on The Bachelor. I was like, how did I miss this? No. But yes, Melissa Rycroft. I don't know if you even watched All Stars, but she did All Stars and danced with Tony Devilani, and she was also a Bachelorette and also won All Stars.
So okay, so three Bachelorettes have won.
Yes.
Yeah.
So imagine if there's one more,
but not
the
one
pressure.
Bachelor.
But imagine
bachelor.
The pressure on the next Bachelorette. Why can I say Bachelorette?
Bachelorette.
No Bachelorette, huh?
So but how come, like, something? We've had a lot of Bachelors. They can't dance.
For the All-Stars, does whoever does it, are they back with their same partner?
Well, I had four of my partners on for All-Stars, but Emmett Smith requested me personally to, like, he said he would only do All-Stars if I danced with him. Drew Lachey had to dance with Anna Trebunskaya. Gilles Marini danced with PETA, Murgatroyd. And who was another? I think that was it. And then it was Emmett. Yeah, that was it. Not four or three.
Okay, so it's not like you always dance with your previous partner.
Unfortunately, there's only one of Cher Bear.
Yes, that is true.
But they seemed to be fine dancing with the other girls, which is totally fine. But mind you, All-Stars didn't do well, I don't think. I don't know if they'll ever do that again.
When was the last one that you guys had?
The last and only time we had it, which was a few years ago.
So it's not like a thing that's happened a couple times. Okay.
It's not like, after nine seasons, then the 10th season, they do All-Stars.
Yeah, yeah. Well.
But what they need to do is they need to do like a show on the celebrities that got their time cut off short, like AJ McLean.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I was going to say. Like, what number were you guys booted?
We were
week nine.
So we were, I think, seventh.
Seventh. So they should do all seventh. You know, a bunch of sevens.
Or just
come
ones
in.
That ended, like if they got an injury, like Jewel did. She did the show, but she only got to the training period because she had an injury. Hope Solo, her Achilles popped. You know, like stuff like that. Ray Lewis. Except, you know, AJ, you better choose me.
Yes, I would. Yeah. It's funny. I actually watched video. Oh, it was, never mind. I think it was your video on your YouTube channel talking about the worst.
You've missed me, AJ.
I have. No, but it was talking about some of the worst injuries on the show. And I saw when Homeboy jacked up his arm.
Crazy.
Oh my God.
Got a free trip out of it though.
Cheryl worked through hers. She fell right on her head.
I know.
And
I bounced right back up.
Bounced right back. She's a pro. She's
a
pro.
I don't know if you saw Wendy Williams, but she slammed my ass the other day. Literally did not even, like, she thought that I went to the hospital. The ambulance came, and then she thought I cried. I was like, well, first of all, Wendy, I didn't cry. She also said I was 40. Insulted.
Oh my goodness.
And she's like, you slept with all your partners, right? Or like, you slept with Rick. I'm like, what? Because she was like, right, but I've done her show before. So I did her show 7 years ago, and she was, you know, she definitely was not
Cheryl. What hurt more, your head when you hit it or when she said you were 40?
40.
That right, that hurt more.
The 40.
Yeah.
I've been slamming my head a few times. I'm good.
Yeah, I just think it's funny tonight because you were, I think you were down getting ready to perform with, I think, Caitlin. and Posh was sitting next to me, and they were showing all the highlights of the whole season from everybody, and he was on his phone, and he looks up right when they cut to you falling, and he like went, oh, and it, like his like face was like in utter shock.
It just looked so bad.
Well, because you're like, as where they put it in the edit was just so random tonight.
Wasn't mic'd. That shit was loud.
Happy.
Wait,
thump.
They showed the thump tonight.
Oh, they showed it tonight. That. Yeah.
What
oh,
else
showed
it
tonight? Yeah.
It's part of the highlights.
Yeah, Mike. That's not a highlight.
Cheryl
real, man.
Falling, bouncing her head.
That is
for
not a
sure.
Highlight. I know. But so everybody, what is everyone doing for Turkey Day?
I think we need to talk more about the finale. I know it might be a little sensitive, but I'm kidding.
I'm going to talk about the finale for Thanksgiving.
I'm
going to
talk
That's
about
cute.
How Renee's dog just dropped the biggest bomb right now.
No.
That is f***ing...
Wait, inside
holy
the house,
shit.
Renee?
Well, he's... No, not actual...
On your foot?
No.
It might as well be in my mouth.
Ew! He's
sitting
you
closer
to... You have
to
wear your Cheryl
Burke
mask.
AJ...
God,
I don't.
Cooper.
I can't smell it where I am.
How do you not smell it? Oh,
clearly we know that I'm COVID free because I could smell that as if it were in my mouth.
Does COVID, when earlier. You have COVID, you don't smell dog's poop?
You can't smell or
you
taste anything.
You can't smell or taste.
I could smell that very
That's one
clearly.
Of the biggest symptoms.
Yep. Oh,
I think
it.
I've lost that a while.
Oh, I smell it now.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Dude,
so
it's gnarly.
Our big dog actually had diarrhea and just shat all over the master bedroom twice.
Oh, my God. I did that on the steps the other day.
At least they
my
did
poor,
on the steps.
My poor Ozpaws is the last Ozpaws? Week now. He's 14, so I get it, but I'm considering doggy diapers.
Aww.
We actually had him, remember, on Bella?
Yeah.
Remember? Yeah. We had a 180-pound Mastiff. AJ lived right almost next door to me at the time, and... You know, it's sad when they start getting to a certain age and they you know, they can't control themselves.
But
and
that's the type of diarrhea that was happening in our master as well. He's really old bear.
Oh. Now, you have a Frenchie too, though, don't you?
I do, and she's a little rascal. She's like her mother.
Do you know that all the sort of snout challenged dogs like a Frenchie,
like
but that, and they also, they're stinky.
So cute,
they
though.
Are.
They are cute. They're
cute,
adorable.
But she's a girl. Now my husband and I are trying to, like, I think we need to spay to her. Just saying. But he wants to, like, basically raise
mate
a
her with one
of
his
as
iguanas?
If I live on a farm. What?
Does he want to mate her with one of his iguanas?
Can you imagine? That would be interesting.
All right, listen. We'll take a break. And when we come back, we have two very special guests. So we'll be back in just a second. We actually have some very, very special guests today joining us on the show. India and her mom, Catherine Oxenberg. How are you guys doing?
Great.
We're doing
good.
Well.
Good.
We're learning the ways of
right,
the Zoom
I know.
Box.
Whole new
I
life.
Know, you
whole
know.
New world.
Whole Welcome.
New life
we've
yes.
been
internet.
We've been so excited
yes.
for this podcast. So you're
Likewise.
Very welcome here.
Thank you. I know. I was telling my mom a little bit about AJ's angle and what you guys are interested
yeah.
in, and we're really excited to
Very.
Talk about it because there are so many similarities
yeah.
and there I think is. It's really important
yeah.
surviving
just,
right
yeah.
Yeah.
Surviving
addiction
just
yes.
mental health
making
in general.
Messes cleaning them up
oh yeah well it's an absolute pleasure to have you guys joining us today you know this whole story is just I can't even wrap my brain around it. Like, it's just you can't make this kind of shit up.
No.
Like, you just can't. You can't write it. You can't make it up. And it's insane that it is an actual reality. You know, myself and Renee are both fathers. We both have daughters. So when I heard about this and I read about this and watched the show, I was just, you know, it just made my entire skin mm-hmm. crawl, you know, because again, being a father with two beautiful girls, it absolutely terrifies me that these types of things happen.
Yeah. And for me, I'm so into the studying of mental health, and like I'm all about motivational speakers, and I love Tony Robbins, I love, you know, you name it. And so like when I saw the vow, I saw the first like 5 episodes, and it was just like, oh my God, like this is exactly what I am attracted to. Like I love the study of the brain. I love trying to be the better version of myself that I could be. And it was kind of like it hit close to home. So do you want to tell us about just like, I guess, the beginning stages of it all? I know you guys went together first. Was that it?
Yeah, yeah. We did.
And how did you find out about it?
Well,
so yeah. A trusted friend who we didn't realize until retrospect that she was recruiting us. But I did notice she was somebody who had recommended other things in the past and
that we had tried and some we liked, some we didn't. And yep. So there wasn't really any alarm going off. It was just, she was really wanting us to go to the intro, and that wasn't a red flag, but I think it should have been.
Well, what she kept saying was, this program is going to change your life. Of all the things I've ever done. And she was sort of a new age, cutting edge friend. Mm-hmm. This is the thing that was the turning point. And she was so enthusiastic. And then we drove to the intro together, and she got up and she gave a testimonial at the intro. And in the room, there were a lot of people that we recognized, right. People who were
in the business,
in the entertainment business.
Mm-hmm. Entrepreneurs, you know, successful people that gave it the room automatic credibility.
And at the end of the day, I mean, when someone tells you, this will change your life for the better, who wouldn't want to go listen, right?
And then do it with people that you know and trust, right?
Well, that's going to make it more inviting, obviously, because you know, there's familiar faces, you feel instantly comfortable. And like you said, maybe you should have thought that was a red flag, but why in the world would you? Yeah. Like
why would you?
Yeah,
you,
absolutely.
100%.
I mean, usually people are trusting of each other.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously we've learned to be more vigilant and look for these things now that we know them.
Of course.
But prior to that, nobody teaches you to look for these types of things.
And you don't want to live like that. You don't want to live questioning people, right?
Yeah, you're walking on eggshells throughout your life and not being able to like trust anyone, even your closest friends. I mean, and that's no way to live.
No.
Yeah.
And the three of us here, we're in recovery, right? So it was substance abuse. And so normally when we meet people that are in recovery and they tell you their harrowing story, it's nice to see them in front of you knowing they survived it, right? So that's what's really nice, that to be able to see both of you as survivors, both of you people who made it through the fire and lived to tell about it. And then now you get to maybe warn other people
Absolutely.
What to look for,
yeah.
right?
And
yeah.
I mean, honestly, so Catherine, I have a question for you. When did you start to get, I guess, cold feet? Like when did you, what was the turning point for you?
Oh God, I outlined this whole thing in my book, but because it's a long process. But I was a student, and to differentiate, you could take classes as a student, and then there was this aggressive recruitment to become a coach, which was no longer just using it as a tool, the program, but making it a full-time lifestyle. Mm. And that was already a red flag for me. I was uncomfortable with the aggressive recruiting. Mm-hmm. I had done a lot of self-help, right. So I'd never
and
been
with the shawl thing.
Kind of,
did
never
you,
dealt
that
with
a
that.
Whole, that's so
oh,
weird.
Oh yeah. Oh, I just thumped
she
it.
Hated the stupid sash.
That's so weird.
Absolutely.
She hated the sash. Yeah.
Hated it.
But that wasn't. But we didn't see that until we were already in the program.
Yes. Gosh, okay.
So they don't start to show you these things until you're already in, or you've already paid, or in my case, in DOS specifically, which was the really nefarious sorority with under NXIVM. They didn't, it was all a bait and switch. They give you one thing and then it ends up being completely the opposite, but you're already too compromised or either, you know, too innocent to really question
right.
a lot. As a student initially. I mean, I think we took a different path because I was recruited, I was targeted to be a coach.
Yeah.
And then they kept flattering me. You should be a coach. You're so natural. I mean, I grew up in LA.
Right.
I wasn't looking to be a coach.
And turning you against your own mother, right?
Oh, well, that started to happen systematically, but really it started from
day
the very
one.
Beginning.
So this is what we didn't understand until looking back, is that we sat down wanting this to be a bonding experience of 5 days together, and we sat together, and a coach came up and grabbed India and said, you know what, she's going to feel so much more comfortable sharing and opening up her heart, not in front of her mom. So I was like, okay, well, I want what's best for my daughter.
Right.
And if it's not sharing the experience, but it's going to be better for her separated from me. But what we didn't know, this was actual predatory, strategic.
Yes.
Behavior,
yes. Yes.
It's not innocent at all.
Do you know, I've always been interested. I'm fascinated, I should say, by cults and how they work, right? How they're able to seduce someone. And one thing that's always blown me away is how they're able to do it with very smart people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you know, where you at first from a distance, you want to believe that you'd have to be super malleable. In fact, I'd read a story once where a reporter set out to expose this cult. So he had to, you know, he had to pretend to join. In the process, he joined.
Wow.
Right? Yeah. This was a guy who went in to expose them. I can't remember the name.
I think I know this story.
It's from Wild Wild Country, I thought.
I think that might be it.
Yes. I remember. I watched every. I mean,
yeah, we watched it.
That's an insane.
Every dog.
Oh, my God.
So did you watch these post getting out? Or
yes. Not when I was in. Are you kidding me?
Did you live there, India? Like, were you there 7 days a week?
I was actually commanded to relocate to Albany.
Oh, wow. And it was Albany.
It was Albany, New York. And like you're saying, there were a lot of really smart people. Yeah. I mean, we had a whole Harvard contingency within NextGen.
Yeah.
So we're not looking at
uneducated
people.
Exactly.
I think one of the assumptions is that you have to be naive or young or, you know, I mean, there is a certain
or weak or lonely.
Yes. Yeah.
And
yes.
They don't really prey on weakness. They're looking for people who are really resourceful that they can use.
And they probably do teach like great things that a lot of other people do teach. Is that how they lure you in?
So the thing that was really clever and what made NextGen more modern, in my opinion, is that they used the front of self-help to conceal all the other things that they were doing.
Right.
Behind
it was
a ruse.
It was the Trojan horse.
Yes.
You didn't see it until you were
too far gone.
And usually, you people who are really committed move to Albany. Have you guys seen Seduced yet? Or
yes, I think they have.
Have you watched just the Vow?
I've only seen the Vow, yeah. But I haven't seen Seduced yet. Okay. But I can't wait to see it. I'm like, that's definitely that's next.
Well,
one of the things that I do want to mention that hopefully we'll have time to is that I have many years in 12-step programs, and one of the people who was my mentor in getting her out is this guy, Greg Hanley, who owns Sober Living Centers, which are rehabs.
We know Greg
very well.
It was so fascinating for me, the difference between a drug intervention versus a cult intervention. And if we have a second before the end, I wanted to mention that because it was a learning experience for me.
That now, because I know Greg, AJ, and I know Greg well. And I remember when he was telling us that this was going on. Wow. Mm. It all comes full circle.
Small world.
Do you know, I have to say, they don't always end well, these things, right? Yeah. I mean, you guys are too young to remember the Heaven's Gate. Do you remember Heaven's Gate?
I'm old enough to remember Heaven's Gate.
Well, I had a home down in Rancho Santa Fe when this happened. So Heaven's Gate, for the young ones here, it was a cult of very smart people that believed that the Hale-Bopp comet that was going to pass at close orbit was a mothership. And the only way they could get on this mothership was to die.
That is so crazy.
38 or 39 people, I can't remember, all drank cyanide or whatever it was. And so this was not far from my house. And so they all covered themselves in purple.
What?
Yeah.
A purple, this like shiny satin thing. And that's how they were discovered.
You're
all
kidding.
Of them. Thinking they went, I mean, I don't know, maybe they did get on a mothership, but I don't think so.
I'm gonna say no on that.
My point is this, it could have turned out so much worse.
Oh, yes,
right?
And that was
thank
my
God theme. You're here.
And thank you. We reference that in the show too, just to show the similarities of all of these cults and really what the end game is. And some of the master manipulators or predators, like a Keith Raniere. You don't know what the end game is, but they were trained.
So he labels himself as like this brilliant man, right? Keith would refer to himself as this, like, I don't even know the exact quote, yeah. but like, and so did you, were you directly in contact with him from the day you guys went in together, or you didn't even know who Keith was?
That's also strategic.
Yeah. He was called the Vanguard. Everyone hails the Vanguard. He's responsible for this.
The creation.
Like the kissing on the lips. That's so crazy.
It's so gross. Yeah. No contact with him for the very long time before
until you're
indoctrinated.
Until you're indoctrinated enough.
And unbelievable. Yeah. Honestly, you guys, what's funny is this technique works in business too, right? Like we were doing something with Coca-Cola and we went to one floor in Georgia, in Atlanta, and then you go with that group to the next floor, that group to, and by the time you meet the CEO of Coca-Cola, you're like, you're just so glad to be there, you know?
Awesome, perfect. Yep. Yeah. I mean, and that was another thing that NXIVM did very well, is that they had their own internal propaganda going very strong. So by the time that you met Keith or Nancy, you already felt sort of reverential, but you weren't sure.
So
why.
Nancy's
sure.
the woman in the video.
Yeah.
Nancy Salzman
so
was the CEO.
You met her right away.
Oh, yeah. Day
did
one.
Did she get arrested?
Yep, she did.
Good.
No charges.
So I have a question.
No charges?
Because
charges.
This has been.
Yes, she's charged.
Sorry, no sentence yet.
So this is something I've been wanting to ask, which like just because I'm just thinking out of just fear in my head for anyone else that may ever, God forbid, experience something as catastrophic as this. Are you worried that there's anyone left that is still convinced, still has that mindset that would want to continue this, even though Keith is gone? You know what I mean? Like he's...
There are still people who are loyal.
See, that,
I mean,
you know, so,
over 50 people sent support letters to the sentencing that I spoke at.
Unbelievable.
And it was, I mean, I read my victim impact statement then,
right?
But they had 56 people. And then there's also a whole group, which they call them, the NXIVM Five. And they're really loyal to Keith still. And they're, I mean, it's really sad to watch because it's like so.
The NXIVM Five?
So they call themselves.
I mean, that's very reminiscent of Charles Manson with the whole, with the five girls, you know, I mean, it's.
The sort of fascinating part of it is how deliberate and how slow it evolves, how little by little they're programming you, right? I mean, for lack of a better term, they're programming you to the extent that 56 people are still like in it to win it somehow, right? Mm-hmm. I'm glad that you're able to look at them and feel sorry for them, you know?
Yeah, I do, because some of those people were my friends, and I remember when I was like them.
Yeah.
And I remember how closed I was and how I was incapable of seeing reality as it was because I was so stuck inside this bubble of what they were indoctrinating us to believe, that it took me a really long time. And it was a super rigorous process of unwinding the programming that I still fight against today.
What does that entail exactly?
How does that look like?
Deprogramming.
I mean, I left in 2018 in July, and we're looking at almost three and a half years. Yeah. So, and I fight it every day, and I constantly need to like redirect my thoughts. I have to dismiss the negative programming. I have to be aware of my triggers. I sometimes have panic attacks or anxiety.
Are you in therapy, Indy?
I'm a big, I think therapy is key, and I've tried a whole variety of them to see what worked for me because some didn't. Yeah. It was a lot of trial and error. But initially it was really just my mom listening to me and having these floods of memories come back. But that took distance
of course,
and time.
Of course.
So you have nightmares and you wake up in a cold sweat, that kind of thing?
Sometimes I have insomnia. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's gotten better over time because I'm less startled by it now because I kind of know what's happening. Yeah. Whereas before I actually thought I was losing my mind.
Yeah. Right. And it's that gaslighting.
Like doing interviews like this, is it a trigger or does it help? Is it therapeutic?
Sometimes it's therapeutic because I feel like I'm not being attacked or questioned.
Yeah.
But there are times where there's people who are a little harsh and insensitive, and that it's painful. I mean, I'm a person.
It's
so.
Just crazy how people
you
are
have
like
feelings.
That.
It's yeah.
Some I mean, people do that just for ratings. For
yeah,
the,
they
you
just want to get a rise, yeah. And you know, but. What you're both doing is a testament to so many people out
it's
there.
Strength. And you guys are survivors.
It's, yes, courage, strength, and it's what's needed. And it's what's needed that people need to hear. People need to be aware of what is going on out there.
And by the way, like you don't even think any of this would happen, right, to you. Right. And especially just being in the business as well, you're just like, oh, no, everyone's perfect in the Hollywood industry. And it's like, you know, we're human, like you said, India, you know.
We have a saying that we like to say it's the spiritual path or the psychopath. Oh. And because we've all been on the psychopath, and for us,
yeah,
for us,
I still maybe pray. Might be there.
Psychopath party of one. Well, here we go.
Depending on the moment of the day, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
But
depends on the trigger.
Yeah. Or if I had coffee.
Yeah.
prayer and meditation is a part of what I do.
She's hitting me because I think part of my recovery has been coming back to myself spiritually. Yeah. And that was kind of like the last layer that I actually felt like me again. And I felt like I could connect to something that was bigger than myself. Yeah. And that really gave me a lot of
just got chills.
Faith.
So I would say, you know, the old adage, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right? It seems I see a strength in you. I see the lights on in your eyes. And I imagine back then people must have seen you as just almost like robotic.
Yeah. They did. Yeah. They told me I looked like a zombie. Yeah. I had
glazed
no,
over.
Just glazed,
you know,
like
nothing in my eye. I mean, I was also on a starvation
diet.
Oh my
gosh.
I mean, I was on limited sleep. They were doing a lot of things that are typical of mind control tactics,
right.
Which they were spinning as positive for me, which were actually really hurting me and many other women. I mean, I'm just one, but there are many others.
Wow. So I have a question. I mean, knowing the end result as far as Keith goes, like, are you, is that enough closure for you? Like the end result for what happened, or is that, or basically will there never be enough closure? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I mean,
yeah,
what his sentence is and whatnot. I mean, is that enough for you to really continue to heal, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. And I think that's a good question because I went into this sentencing and I knew I wasn't going to get anything from him because he's a true sociopath. Yeah. He does not have empathy. He can't try on being somebody else. Mm-hmm. He's incapable. So I knew that anything that I read was really for me and my own closure. And so I put it all out there in my words. And I actually looked at him in the eyes several times when I wanted to make points. And after I left, I actually felt really calm. Like I had gotten it out of my system. And I do feel like justice is served. I mean, 120 years is a statement.
That is.
Yes.
Sure.
But it will never give us back our time.
Yeah. Right,
it will never take away the pain or the nightmares.
Yeah.
But it is something, and it's
absolutely. You know, I am not the same at all, but I got sexually molested when I was a little girl, and we put my molester behind bars. And there was something about, I was so young, I was like 9 years old when I testified, right? So it was just like, there was something though about that calmness I can relate to in a weird way, you know?
Like, it was the first night that I slept without being like tortured in my head.
Totally.
Because sometimes I go to sleep and I start like thinking about things or being afraid.
Yeah.
And I actually called my mom and I was like, I went to bed and I didn't have a nightmare.
Right. Right. Yeah. And there's something about it. And it's like, for me, I've just been going through this like forgiveness stage, which is just so, and I've just had to like kind of figure out it's not forgiving him. It's forgiving myself, you know? And so that for me felt very, you know, just relief, just lots of luggage. Yeah. And so do you and the other girls are in communication or?
Some of the people that have left Nexium and I was close to, some I still have a relationship with. I consider a couple of them best friends. The people who are still loyal, I don't communicate with, or it's very, very simple communication because I, just for my own protection, I got to keep distance from that because you never know. And they use a lot of strategies to try to extract information. It's not worth it.
Well, it's keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer kind of a mentality. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, you got to just.
I wanted to get back. I think, again, from my personal experience, being able to see the glass half full, right? Even having gone through really terrible things, right? And I think the beauty of what you've been through, not that anything is beautiful about the actual indoctrination or that, but the fact that you could today, you have a voice now that can make a difference with people, you know? And so to me, the silver lining that I always look for is that this has made you a lot stronger, and it's made you, mm-hmm. you know, I'm sure you've had to look inward to find out who you really are. And that is half the goal in life.
Oh,
totally. I mean, I definitely had a crash course. So I've learned a lot. And
you didn't sign up.
I even wrote a book about it because for a long time I couldn't even talk about these things. So I ended up writing, which was super helpful, and I called it Still Learning, which I think was really appropriate.
Yeah, no, totally.
Yeah.
I need to read that book.
We're all still learning.
Always, so every day, you know.
It's a daily thing.
It has
but
to be, yes.
It is interesting how you guys said it's very, very parallel with like the world that we're in with recovery and with, you know, mental health and whatnot, because again, you know, you fall into these, you know, traps and these mindsets that, you know, what you're doing or what's being asked of you is okay. It's acceptable. And then before you know it, in the blink of an eye, you're so deep into it that you're so far down the rabbit hole that you just can't even claw your way back out. And you're obviously surrounded by people that continue to bring you down until you finally get to that place where, like you said, now you have that spiritual connection back again, which is a mm-hmm. huge thing. I mean, the 12-step program.
I have trust with my mom.
I mean, hats off to Mama. Yes, Mama Bear always taking care. You know, that's, you know, moms are awesome. Moms are awesome, period. Let's just say that. Moms rule. Okay, mm-hmm. let's just get that
yes.
out there.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it was prayer and faith that got me through.
Absolutely. Catherine, did you film something in Greg's beach house guest?
Yep.
The guest
house?
You
were
there. What's
that? You were there.
So, yes, I was going to ask you if you remember that.
I do, and you helped.
It's just sitting...
And I was just remembering looking at you, why you look so familiar. You helped because I was helping a rescue of a sex trafficking victim, which was why I started the foundation that India and I are now going to talk about.
Yes. It kind of all hit me at once. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Yeah. What?
Greg's name, I was like, wait, is there another Greg Hanley or is it the same one that we know?
No, I'm like,
the one
and only, this guy looks really familiar. I'm like, oh yeah, he was filming with me with Callum. We were planning this rescue.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. We did rescue her.
Yeah.
Well, tell AJ and Cheryl about that a little bit, because that was another nutty story.
I was doing that because I was so frustrated. She wouldn't let me rescue her. I had to rescue somebody. She had her moment. So what happened was Greg told me a little bit about that he had rescued one young woman from a sex trafficking ring in Myrtle Beach. And he said he was about to go rescue another young woman. And I said, well, do you need help? And he said, yes. So that's how that happened.
But there were mafia involved. Wow. There was all kinds. It was.
Yes. So it was really serious. In fact, Greg, when we were filming, had a suitcase and he's like, I can't get on a plane because they threatened to kill me.
Yeah.
Do you remember? So I helped organize a rescue through a PI who drove from Florida to Myrtle Beach, and we got her out. We got her on a plane. Greg just said, if you can get her on a plane and get her to my rehab, I will take care of her. So I orchestrated the whole rescue.
So can we just for a second focus on that? Who rescues people like SEAL Team 6? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that is amazing. Just went in, got It's just, and again, I remember Greg was worried because he was saying, I'm dealing with some like heavy hitter mafia. Yeah. What were they, Russian mafia or something? I don't want to speak out of turn, but oh, now I'm in trouble.
Good job, dude.
Well, it was Greg who actually identified NXIVM as a criminal organization, which yes, it was. It is. So it was him
who gave me my strategy. He said, disrupt, 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 contact the media, contact the FBI.
Yeah.
Everything he told me to do, I did. He said, tough love, don't give her a penny. You've got it. I mean, he was my coach throughout the whole
process.
So
admirable that you, I mean, and now your daughter's here. You're here right in front of us, surviving all that madness. Like I said, one thing I say is I didn't have to turn out this way. That makes me more grateful for whatever reason. You know, every time I say to myself something good happens, I always say it didn't have to happen this way. Mm-hmm. It did. Yeah. And it makes me more grateful.
It could have went sideways.
Yeah.
You know? Well, it did for a while. But
I'm just so impressed with how present you are.
Yes.
India. Yeah. Like you,
I feel
like,
more myself now than ever. So I'm really grateful to have my life back. I mean, like, I think that's the craziest thing to say. I never thought that it was something that I would have to fight for.
Yeah.
And I just feel like, I don't know, it's going to make me cry, but sometimes just the simplest of things move me so much.
Love because it.
You just really, like what you said, you just learn to really appreciate what matters. Totally. And what matters is your family and just having love in your life.
And you're newly married, living. Is that right?
I actually am
engaged.
Congratulations.
Yay. Awesome.
To a very lovely man who's a chef, which is
amazing.
Oh, nice.
Isn't that heaven?
That's like amazing. That's the perfect setup right there. There's no excuse. No excuse for like the best meals ever, period. Always.
And I'm a foodie too. So that's one of the things that we bond over.
That's so great. Wow. I'm so happy for you. Really.
It's so great to see you living in living in gratitude, which is something that's very hard for people to do, especially going through something as traumatic, but to live in gratitude and to persevere and to have such a rock solid best friend partner sitting right there next to you.
Star over there. And you're a survivor, you know.
Way better.
SEAL Team 6 right
way
there.
Better working on the same team than not.
We were always working on the same team as far as I was concerned.
Of course,
she just
of course.
Didn't realize.
Well, you guys are both amazing.
It all comes full circle.
Yeah, thank you for telling your story. I'm sure you're helping so many people.
Seduced Inside the NXIVM Cult airs Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Starz and the Starz app.
Okay, so thanks to Catherine and India for being our guests today. And everyone, please check us out on loopedlive.com. And it's not too late to get your tickets, so make sure you get them now.
We're excited.
Yes, we are stoked.
Oh, really? You sound exhilarated.
Hey, also, so everybody knows, we actually did a nice little photo shoot with our new merch that you guys need to go check out as well.
That's right, because it was the quickest photo shoot, which meant that it was a great photo shoot.
Exactly.
It was fun.
It was fun.
So fun. And it was the first time Renee and I ever met, so check out the BTS footage on one of our
Instagrams. Yes, go to myfanthreads.com/prettymessedup to check out new merchandise.
And they're super cute, girls. You got crop sweaters and beanies, pink beanies.
The beanie is just like the softest thing I've worn on my head as far as a beanie. It's
totally it's like a pillow on your head.
It is like it's like a freaking knapsack on your head. No.
I promise though, it looks really cute.
It's like wearing Uggs on your head.
Yeah.
It doesn't add volume or anything.
Exactly. Well, listen, thank you guys so much for tuning in. And listen, everybody, be safe this holiday. Everybody, chill with your fams. Try not to do any traveling. Be safe and smart and have a very, very happy Thanksgiving.
Don't spit on each other.
Yes. Unless you're spitting gravy.
In general.
But yeah, exactly. And to both of you guys, to Share Bear, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. I'm so grateful. Let's just go around and talk about how grateful we are about
you
one
guys.
Thing.
Yes. For each other.
Well, all kidding aside, you guys, my wife and I last night were talking about how freaking fortunate we are. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot of people suffering out there right
now.
You know,
especially with the shutdown happening.
We're going into a second shutdown. A lot of these restaurants aren't going to survive. They barely survived the first one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we do.
The holidays, yeah.
At night, her and I do talk about, you know, there are people that are separated right now, you know, in cages. You know, I hate to say it, but we know where our daughters are, you know. AJ, you know where your daughters are.
Are you talking
healthy.
About Carole Baskin again? What are you doing?
No. I'm talking about
daughters and kids.
I'm talking about at the border, you guys. Where 600 and something kids. They got separated from their parents. Mm-hmm. And I think I know where my daughter is. She's upstairs right now, safe and sound.
Totally.
You know what I mean? There's so much to be grateful for, you guys.
Yeah, and a lot of people are going through divorce, depression. Like,
You're 100% right, Cheryl. There's a lot of stuff going on. And the fact that I get to look forward to every Monday, usually I'm going to see you guys. We're going to talk. We're going to laugh. We've talked about how laughter gets us through things. Mm-hmm. I know I'm going to laugh. You know, Cheryl always says something.
You don't know.
So smart
Lord
to
only
say.
Knows, Lord really only knows what's going to come out of Cheryl's mouth.
Great
you
with her words,
don't know.
This one.
Yeah. And you too, AJ. You're,
yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just a funny guy. I mean, what can I say?
Yeah.
I'm just an all-around funny guy. But, yeah, this is going to be a really... I mean, look, my family hasn't had a really big Thanksgiving in years because now I've got my own family. So it's usually limited to about five of us. But, you know, again, everybody out there, be safe. Be safe and, you know, be thankful.
You guys ever fried a turkey?
Absolutely not. But I do have I bought a fryer just for shits and giggles.
Game changer. Swear to God. You inject it with all kinds of stuff. And then boom, as long as you don't blow yourself up.
Yeah. You're
good.
Don't do that. But, okay.
But if you
Cheryl needs to play catch up. But I think next week, I think the three of us should discuss The Undoing because she's been watching it.
Oh, my God.
Don't talk about last night.
I have not seen last night's yet.
She has, yeah.
But aren't we all impressed that I watched something?
Just put on your seatbelt.
Yeah, last night's is a freaking...
I get a call this morning, FaceTime, right? I get a FaceTime.
Nicole Kidman's calling you.
No. It's AJ. And I turn it on and he's like, oh my God.
I'm like, okay.
Because last night.
We need to talk about
what the hell just happened.
The Undoing, I sent him a text because I watched.
Tell me.
No, I'm not going to say anything other than I sent him a text saying, OMFG, right? And then he got home. I don't know what time he got home last night. But this morning he FaceTimes me. I'm half asleep and he just goes, oh my God.
Wait, by the way, how early did you watch? Is that like your morning news?
What?
Watching that show?
No. We watch it on Sunday as soon as it's available.
Together?
Yeah.
No. My wife and I,
him and Britt beat me and my wife to the punch. But then last night I thought Rochelle was going to be done and she's like, I'll watch it. And then by the end of it, she was like, what the fuck?
Mind you, this is what I don't like about that it's not on Netflix, is that you can't just watch the whole thing.
You can't binge it out.
I know, but it's smart.
But
it's
there's
smart.
Something kind of cool about that, too, though.
It makes you want to see what the hell.
I don't like waiting a week, but you also, it paces out for you.
And there's only one more episode. It sucks.
AJ thought there was two more episodes.
Because I forgot this was the fifth episode.
Yeah.
Mind you,
I forgot it came out every Sunday. So now I've got something to look forward to tonight. And I can't wait to not sleep for the third night.
Oh, yeah.
I think going forward, we should pick one of these top shows and then discuss them. You know,
I agree.
It's just everyone's
we
watching.
We should just have Nicole Kidman. I'm just going to call her.
Yeah, I'll just call Nicole Kidman or I'll call Hugh Grant.
I already said Nicole Kidman. You have to go to Hugh Grant.
Okay, I'll go to Hugh Grant.
I'll call David E. Kelly.
Yeah. Okay. Listen, thank you guys. We'll see you guys tomorrow live for Pretty Messed Up. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Tune in next time on Pretty Messed Up on iHeartRadio. Good night.
Follow Pretty Messed Up on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.